It's time to learn what's happening in nearby Sauk Prairie. Raul LaBrescia is here with another edition of Mornings at McFarland's from our 99.7 FM studios at McFarland's in Sauk City. Today's program is brought to you by DeMars Plumbing, Prairie Clinic, and Sophie's Fine Jewelry and Gift Shop.
Well, nothing could be finer than to be on Carolina in the morning. Well, I don't have anything else to say beyond that, folks. We're having technical difficulties or something of that nature. I had a guest coming on this morning, and I believe, I hope he might still be making it to here. But one of those things about live radio, the show must go on regardless of what happens. And I hope our guest out there, Jack Ackle, I hope you're okay and that you'll be able to join us while we're still on the air here. But I hope everybody had a great 4th of July. I know I had a busy one myself. We had fire on the river going on here in Sauk Prairie. And for the first time, it was a 2-day event. I know there were a lot of things going on that I didn't even get to see because yours truly works with the main stage event throughout that event. So I had more than enough going on in my world down at my end. We were pretty much down on the north end behind the Riviera Bowl and Ace Hardware there. And had just a ton of stuff going on. For the first time, had a battle of the bands. So a couple of different groups came out and participated in that, and River Hills Church brought out their worship band, and the guys played a great bunch of eclectic music, and they were able to take the gold in that. And then a great guy that I had never met before but is a local singer-songwriter, Dan McDonald, was there performing as well. And did a great job, just all original music. And boy, what a talented guy he was. And then, after the event was over and the winner was announced, River Hills reached out to Dan. And the following night, they got to open up for our headliner for the fireworks night. And it was really a pretty cool situation. They reached out to Dan and said, hey, why don't you play the set with us? And so Dan opened things up, and then they did a transitional piece and went right into the rest of the show that River Hills folks had put together. So just a really neat thing to see the community come together that way and see the community of musicians and artists in our area come together as well. And then Cherry Pie was there over the evening hours. And the following day, of course, we had some daytime stuff going on with Chris Picard Dance Company. Always does a great job. They've been with us every year that we've done the Fire on the River activity since 6-8 took over the whole thing about 4 years ago. Chris is my lucky star, if you will, and brings the kids out, and all the grandparents and parents and cousins and uncles and whatnot all come to see the kids, which is always just wonderful. And then had Thirsty Jones was there playing for a while, and then, of course, the Battle of the Bands winner, and wrapped up the night with Retrospects, which is always a big crowd pleaser. Just a great time. Great to see the community out enjoying themselves. We had a bunch of different restaurants out there this year. I heard several people wondering what happened to Tastes of Sauk Prairie, and I am here to tell you that Tastes of Sauk Prairie is happening. The organization that promotes and puts that all together, organizes it, Graceway Church in town, is going to be doing it later this summer instead of as part of Fire on the River. I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe the date is August 9th on that. We'll have more on that as we come closer to the date, but that'll be another great community event to look forward to throughout the summer months. So, and can you believe we're already in July? The June concerts are done already, which is a great part of the community events that we've got going on around here. I can't believe it. We've already gotten through the entire month of June, and now we're into July. When concerts have started up, I know we've got Bagpipes in the Glen that are going to be coming up in this coming weekend. You blink and too much happens in Sauk Prairie. you just can't afford to blink because there's going to be something that'll happen that you'll miss and you wish you hadn't. So our guest this morning was Jack Ackle. Jack was going to come on to talk about an exciting event coming on, as well as the institute that is supported by that event. Jack is a recipient of the services and is also someone that has benefited from the abilities of folks down at the Craniofacial Institute, which is, I did not know a lot about it before I had met Jack over a year ago. It's a condition that affects quite a few people. I wish I had more stats on it. I'm sure Jack has all that sort of stuff, but there's people that have that condition are born with it. I think, we tend to think of it as maybe cleft palates or a cleft lip. But it can be much more than that. It can involve much more of the skull and the functionality of the face in general. And the folks at Craniofacial Institute are specially trained surgeons that are able to help with that condition and restore not only functionality, but cosmetically restore people to what we would consider a more normal or hopefully a more beneficial lifestyle because of that reconstructive ability that they have. So the visible structural or functional differences that affect the head can be corrected much better than was ever possible until recent times. And Jack's own story is such that he talks about just the transformational things that happened in his life as a result of the techniques and the skills of those guys. Because he grew up in the 70s and 80s when this was all really just starting to come online. So as part of that, Jack had been a part of fundraising efforts for the Craniofacial Institute for a number of years, and finally got the idea that, after doing many, many brat stands, I believe, and things of that nature, that he could raise a whole heck of a lot more money if he did something a bit bigger than that. So last year, he took on a concert idea, I think much to the chagrin of his wife, because as he told me last year, he kind of took over the kitchen, and with all the planning documents and the materials that he needed to have to keep on track with things, but had such a successful time of it, as much work as it was. He was able to bring in Jimmy Fortune. And Jimmy, those of you that are Statler Brothers fans may be well aware of the fact that Jimmy Fortune toured and sang and performed with the Statler Brothers for about 21 years. So he joined them when Lou DeWitt was needing some time off. I'm not sure what was going on. Maybe people that are out there that are Statler Brothers would know more about that. But DeWitt had heard him singing at a ski resort and recommended him to the band as someone that could take his place. And the brothers performed with his first show with him in 1982 in Savannah, Georgia. And then due to the debilitating effects of Crohn's disease, oh, that's what it was, Lou was unable to return to the stage with the Statlers. So Jimmy was hired as a permanent replacement. And he quickly lived up to his name. Apparently, he wrote the group's second number one hit, Elizabeth, on their 1983 album Today, and followed that up with two more number one hits, My Only Love from 1984's Atlanta Blue and Too Much on My Heart from 1985's Partners in Rhyme. He also wrote the top 10 hit Forever from 1986, Four for the Show, and co-wrote the top 10 hit More Than a Name on the Wall from 1988's Greatest Hits. So Jimmy Fortune is no stranger to talent, no stranger to capability in writing good songs. So Jimmy Fortune came in last year, did a concert at the River Arts Center in town here, and now Jack's got him coming back again. So coming up in September, Saturday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. Actually, looks like there are two different shows, one at 1 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. So I know that there are tickets available for that. So I believe River Arts on Water is selling them. I wish I knew for sure. I think they're on sale already. I'm pretty sure they are because I've seen signs up around town. And I know last year the shows were just a big hit. So if you missed that concert, you blinked and you missed that one, you've got a chance again to see and hear Jimmy Fortune. He's a huge crowd pleaser, just has a really personable style. Of course, he's a great singer. And if you like that country western music, like the Statler Brothers used to play and still play, that he's definitely a concert you don't want to miss. So, and on the same point, it's supporting a really wonderful cause. So the people that are affected by craniofacial issues and are then benefit from the services that the Craniofacial Institute is able to provide for them. It is a gift for a lifetime if you're able to support that organization and have a great night at a great concert at the same time. So, well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in just a minute with some community announcements. Maybe hold out, keep those thoughts and prayers coming. Maybe Jack will still be able to join us before we run out of time here. But if not, we'll do some community announcements and when we come back from this short break for a word from our sponsors. And you'll just get to hear more of me talking. Well, you know, I hope that's okay. So I know I enjoy talking, that's for sure. So you guys don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with what's going on in the Sauk Prairie area, because, you know, there's a lot of living going on here. Yeah, here on WRPQ Radio, 99.7 FM here in Baraboo, and broadcasting live from McFarland's in Sauk City. And we're back here at Mornings at McFarland's, and as I promised, we will be talking about some of the community events here going on in the area. You know, I was talking a bit before, we went to a commercial break here about all the great stuff that had been going on at Fire on the River this past weekend, and the Battle of the Restaurants that was going on. What a wonderful opportunity to sample a bunch of different stuff. My personal favorite was Vintage Ale, which is putting up their new facility. Going to be a great addition to the area. That was actually part of what started the whole change in or the arrangement of things this year, was the fact that that property was going up, changed the geographic location quite a bit. Or the topography, if nothing else. But they actually had a food area down there and had cheeseburgers on a stick, which I think I had three of those, much to my waistline's remiss or commiseration, or I'm not sure what the word is, but my waistline sure did expand as a result of that. I'm sure of that. But in Riviera, had a bunch of great food, some chicken teriyaki sandwich, just great entrees. There was a barbecue place there. There were homemade potato chips with sour cream and cheese on them. I think they were called Dixie chips. Just wonderful, wonderful stuff. So if you missed it, I'm so sorry, because it was just a food wonderful time. But you know, there are still great things going on, and the folks over at Woodshed Ale, which is Vintage Brewery as well, they've got another one of the great concerts coming up tomorrow from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. The band Emerald Grove will be performing, hailing from Madison, Wisconsin, the land of cheese and beer. Like, makes me think of hams. Hams, the land of... anyways, Emerald Grove is a four-piece switchblade folk group. Switchblade folk. I don't even know what that is. I should. I love music. But they are a four-piece switchblade folk group with bluegrass and Americana influences. So Trampled by Turtles meets CSNY with a kick of Counting Crows. Well, if you know music, I guess that will speak to you. So Trampled by Turtles meets CSNY with a kick of Counting Crows. I love it when bands describe themselves that way. I have to go to Wikipedia and look up all those bands now. So then on Friday, Construction Zone will be going on again at the Sauk City Public Library. So Construction Zone is something that they've had numerous times. This week it's from 1 until 3 p.m. Basically, all kinds of different building materials will be available for children of all ages to construct with, including Legos and Magna tiles and wooden blocks and giant cardboard pieces and much more. And guess what? Jack Akala just walked up here. So Jack, have a seat. Well, let's put aside the rest of these calendar events. Jack, I already plugged your event a whole bunch, so okay. I don't know how much you'll have to say, but scoot on up here and let's talk, Jack. Gosh, I hope you're okay. Everything all right?
Yeah, just lots of things going on at home is all.
Gee, I can't imagine that. I never have that sort of thing happen. My life is just so easy.
We just came back from Eagle River, so that's with the fourth and all that sort of thing. So it's Lots of things going on.
Yeah. Did you have a honey-do list that you did got done up there or not?
It rained 6 days out of five, or six out of seven. So we didn't even get much painting in.
Oh,
so,
my gosh. That's right. Not, you paint for a living, don't you? That's, you got your painting gear on at least.
I was heading off for a job. And this is the day I was supposed to be on the air. So.
You know, and here I was telling before Mike Ganger, before I went on the air, said, you know, you and I have talked about this, and I had seen you maybe a couple weeks ago or kind of warned you that we had moved the studio and all this stuff. And then I thought, well, I'll just call him to make sure. And do you think I could find your phone number anywhere to just say, hey, let's make sure?
That's true. It's in the phone book under my wife's name.
It was just one of those things where I'm like, I'm going to trust. I know Jack is excited about this event. Well, so
It's shaping up real good. There's a slim possibility that we might have someone who's going to match the sponsor's money.
Really?
It's uncertain yet. It's a donor from the Kohler, Wisconsin area who's got a 500-employee factory.
Wow.
That he might, Dr. Salyer is going to try and talk to him to encourage him to do it. And,
okay.
So we don't know if that's going to happen yet, but it makes a great story even if it doesn't.
Well,
but,
sure, and the matching funds are such a great opportunity. If that comes through, then whatever you end up raising through ticket sales,
ticket sales are separate.
Oh, okay.
This is just the sponsorship money to cover the cost of the show.
Oh, really? Okay.
And so far we're around $8,000 at the moment, and we really haven't tapped the businesses that gave from last year. So
sure.
we've got a good shot at making our $15,000 maybe to $18,000. It's hard to say how it's going to work out.
You know, I don't know that people think about that a whole lot, but these concerts there are a significant amount of expenses for bringing something like this to
Jimmy
the community.
Jimmy is $10,000 this year. And you've got $3,000 or so of other advertising expenses and some things we got to cover. Motel rooms for them. That's part of the contract obligation, and so it's sizable. But when I first started to do this a year April ago,
when you first took over your wife's kitchen table,
right. Oh, that's very true. Still is.
Yes, the first time of the kitchen debacle.
And it's a debacle. It didn't get off there until we had some family or some people coming over, so we had to clear it off. But she puts it down this way, so it doesn't get mixed up.
I know how that works.
It's doing okay. I went out to Whitman yesterday. I was going to try and put a float in the parade, but coming back from Eagle River, that wasn't enough time to. There's an awful lot to put
in Eagle River. That's way up there by Hayward, isn't it? That's quite a ways away.
Well, yeah. So that was we tried to go find fish, but
okay.
And the guide helped us find it, but we only were out there for 3 hours one day, and that was there was a group of us, three of us that went on that. Not me, fortunately. I wasn't crazy enough to want to pick a day. It was 45 degrees out, and the guide sails that boat across the water. So and it was rainy, wind chill. They came back freezing, I guess you could say, or chilled. But we went out on Wednesday morning, and we did manage to catch about 8 or 9 walleyes and some crappies. And
so I'm curious, how does a guy that's a painter by trade end up getting the idea to bring Jimmy Fortune into town? Because you've already done this once, and it was really successful.
Yeah, we made $22,000 last year. Wow. And this time, my goal this time is to fill the place up twice.
Okay.
And the theater, now they added 40 more seats to the orchestra pit area on top of that. So those are...
So now we're up to like 540 or something like that?
Yeah, very close, yes. And so if we can do that twice, it will come out to close to $40,000.
Wow. And that money all goes directly to the Craniofacial Institute, and that's going to provide services. Does that help families? That
it helps families without any. Well, if they don't have any insurance now. A side story out of this is that when I put this on last April, I didn't know it, but some of that money ended up actually helping me out because they covered when I had this a sinus gland behind my left eye started secreting, and it had no place to go, and it was literally pushing the eyeball out to where it was almost touching the lens of the glasses.
Oh, my Lord.
And it didn't hurt, but it was getting to be a strong nuisance, to say the least. And it was it would tear just because the eye wants to keep itself moist.
Sure.
And so they, I set up this, well, we got lined up with Dr. Salyer, who got a neurosurgeon and a cranial facial surgeon from Dallas to do it again at Medical City, where I had these operations 31 years ago. So this actually was a side effect from a 31-year-ago surgery.
Wow.
When they reshaped the face and so on.
I actually talked about that a little before you got here, right. How you had had personal experience with this early in your life, and it was actually early in the process of them developing some of the techniques and whatnot that they now perform relatively routinely, right?
Right. The procedure where they cut up and over the top of your head and pull the front of the face down so you don't have so much scarring on the face was created in 1971.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I already had 19 surgeries at that point.
Oy.
And none of which really did solve the problem. So in 86, well, I won't go through the whole story, but it was kind of a miracle that I lost a bunch of money in the stock market, and my sister bailed me out, and that financial mistake actually led to my life's miracle.
Really?
So I went down to Dallas to work off some of the loan with her, and when I was there, I started working for other people, and one day I came back to her place to get some paint supplies, and she was talking with a neighbor's daughter who was just looking after their house while they were on vacation. She was already an adult and off on her own. And this girl, as it turned out, had been the scrub nurse for Dr. Salyer. So,
and he's really one of the pioneers of a lot of the techniques.
Yeah,
right?
He's world famous. And of course, he was here last year. And I know he's going to be back again. And I'm not hoping he's going to do more book sales again, because I'm still sitting with about 200 books in my
the kitchen table.
Well, not quite in the kitchen table. They made it to the garage.
Okay.
But he wasn't sure what they wanted to do with it, if I should send them back or if we're going to do it again.
Sure. Try to sell them.
But he has done 16,000 surgeries in his life on people's faces.
Wow.
And one of the people we've got coming this year, and maybe you mentioned that earlier, was Lacey Carpenter, who is a fiddle player who's won world competitions playing the fiddle. And she was born with a bilateral cleft, I guess is the proper name for it.
Okay.
But she had no front lip at all on top. And so after 33 surgeries, she's extremely looking, good looking girl.
Yeah.
And
that's the thing about their website. I know I saw a number of, case studies, true story kinds of things.
Yep.
It's amazing. I mean, you look at the before and after stuff.
Yeah, it literally transforms lives.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, and beyond just the cosmetic things too, they talk about the functionality difference. Well, and your issue with your eye gland. I mean, the fact that the way that your face had formed, there just was no place for that fluid to go, and restoring that functionality is a huge thing.
Well, in this case, they just covered over it with a couple of pieces of muscle tissue, I guess he said.
They just take care, sweep it under the rug, Yeah.
And he says, "Well, if this lasts 30 years, I'll be okay because I'll be 103 at that point."
What a nice thought. Yeah. So,
well, it's a cute story, but I was giving the craniofacial doctor a hard time about the Packers beating the Cowboys, and this is before the game.
Okay.
And he kind of looked at me and says, you maybe aren't too smart, because you're talking to the guy who's going to be playing with your brain in a couple of days.
And, you don't want to be ticking me off now.
Yeah.
Yeah, not a good idea.
So there was a purple marker that they used to cut over the top of the, or when they made the incision on top of the head, it was basically to mark the line from the 31 years ago scar.
Okay.
So they were on the same page. But it's amazing how they only used shaved up like a quarter inch up and over the top of the head. So you didn't look like you'd been through a surgery and all this. But this time, as it turned out, there was no pain involved in this thing, no headaches, no discoloration, no huge swelling. Last 30 years ago, there was swelling lasted for 4 or 5 months.
Wow.
And even after I went back to work after 29 days, which was, the doctor didn't think that was a good idea, or initially didn't think that was a good idea, but I was bored and
you couldn't take it anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. And, nothing was wrong with the rest of my body, and it just looked like I'd been hit by two semis.
Coming together at your face.
Absolutely.
How
nice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the swelling was intense, and the eyes were only about 40% open at that point. So Yeah, it's, but this time was so miraculous in a sense. I don't like to use the word, overuse that word,
but still.
I was up 22 hours later and to walk around, and I wasn't even sure if I could stand up without getting dizzy. That was my only question in my mind, and got off the bed, and everything was good.